You know, it's a big day. Thank you, Clayton. It's a big day for, it's Easter. It's a resurrection day. And let's think about this day. I mean, this is a day that everything changed. The birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus changed everything. And you know, when you think about this day, it's a day the world must confront. This revelation that Jesus defeated the grave. You know, when you think about Easter Sunday, it speaks about a past for us. But it has a huge message right now for you and I today. And it's got huge implications for our future. And now this is a big day because the resurrection today, it's my prayer that it's unique for you today. Unique for me, that this day marks a change. And you know what I pray? I pray that every one of us, we sense the supernatural draw of today. That we don't miss the respect that comes from this day, the call to repentance, the call to surrender your life today. I pray that this resurrection day is unique for you. And you know, I want to try something today. All over the world, Christians are gathering together and they are proclaiming that Jesus is risen. And you know, when a Christian historically has said, Jesus is risen, the response is what? Risen indeed. All right, let's try this, okay? Let's stand together. I know we've been standing. It's good exercise. So let's stand. And I'm going to say Jesus is risen, and I want you together to respond that he's risen indeed. You ready? He is risen. Hey, good job. Keep standing, because we're going to read the scriptures. That's our practice that we have, but there's three words I want us to remember on this resurrection day. As we think about this day, as we confront this day, there's three words. Number one is hope. Say that with me. Hope. Second word, fear. Say it.
Fear.
The third word, certainty.
Certainty.
Hope.
Hope.
Fear.
Certainty.
And what we're going to do today is look at the resurrection through the eyes of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, and it's going to be on the screen, but Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3, he says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in his great mercy he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, Resurrection Day is the day that changed the world, and we understand the impact of big days. Yesterday was a big day in Oklahoma. Yesterday was the 30th anniversary of the Murrah bombing. I'll never forget that day. That day, the world was different. You didn't have instant access to cell phones. And I remember I was the youth minister in Ada, Oklahoma, at First Baptist Church of Ada, and I remember getting a phone call, hey, something's happened, and we haven't heard from our Uncle Dennis. Robin's dad called, and Robin's uncle was in the building. We hadn't heard from him. All right, oh man. I get another phone call from my mom. Hey, Chris, we haven't heard from Uncle Paul. My uncle was in the building. And, you know, we didn't have instant access at that time, so I remember fretting. Oh my goodness, what happened? Then News started traveling. Finally, we heard from Robin's dad, and Uncle Dennis had made it. Traumatic. People in his office were killed, but he survived. He was injured. My Uncle Paul, same thing. He survived, but had some injuries. And then I got the news that Mickey Maroney couldn't be found. Mickey Maroney, this is a picture. He was a youth worker at Council Road. I had served at that church, and he taught 10th grade boys Sunday school. And I remember when the news came to me that they found Mickey, he was killed. And I was like, oh, coming to grips with that day. This was a big day. Big day in Oklahoma. But let's just consider what the resurrection says about a day, a big day like what happened 30 years ago. You know what the resurrection of Christ says to the world, and it continues to say to the world? It says this: that death, though it's challenging and though it comes at different ways, at different times, and often unexpected, the resurrection of Christ shows that death is not the end. Death is a turnstile. Death is a door that we will all walk through. And the resurrection of Christ is a day that we should consider, we should understand the implications of this big day. And let's look at it through Peter's eyes. 1 Peter 1, he writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you have your Bibles, look at that. Praise be. Praise be to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, for in his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, Peter, he remembered the resurrection. I mean, it was Peter that was what was told by Jesus multiple times as before he went to the cross, "I'm going to die and rise again." It was Peter that Jesus said to him on the night of the Last Supper, Passover week, "Hey, Peter, you're going to deny me three times." It was Peter that walked with Jesus, that the scripture says that when he denied Christ, the rooster crowed the third time. The second that he denied him, the rooster crows three times. The Bible records, the Gospels record, that when Peter did that, he went outside and wept bitterly. And then it was Peter that heard that report. The Gospels record it, this report of those ladies that woke up early in the morning, this morning. You know, that first Easter, those ladies woke up and it wasn't a victorious mentality that morning. They were devastated. Have you ever been so sad and so broken that you woke up early, that you couldn't sleep? The scripture records that these women woke up early and went to the tomb. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus, and they walk into the tomb, and they walk up, and it's like, wait a minute, something's different. The stone's rolled away. What? And they walk inside. The Gospels record, they walk inside, and they see these two beings in there. Where? And they boldly say, "Where have you put my Lord?" These women were focused and were demanding, "Where did you put him? He's not here. And we came, and he's not here. Where is he?" I can just see the urgency in their voice, the boldness, probably aggressive, the brokenness. And then this conversation ensued. And it was Jesus that said to him, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And maybe it was that voice that she recognized, and she stopped, and Jesus? And it was his voice, and it was him. And right before our eyes, she's going, whoa. And Mark chapter 16 is very interesting. Mark chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said to her, "Go tell the disciples," and notice this, "and Peter." What, wasn't he one of the disciples? Yes, but listen to what Jesus said. "Go tell the disciples and Peter." that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They run to tell the disciples. And Peter, he wanted me to specifically tell you. Now, why would that be important? Because can you imagine what Peter felt? What? He's alive. He said he would. And John 20 records as Peter and the disciples are processing what they heard. And in John 20, verse 19, on that evening, the day of that day, the first day of the week, this day, the doors behind being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. What? I mean, Mickey died. And I'm trying to grasp what my mind would be thinking if I knew that his body was found and then all of a sudden there he is standing before me. That's what happened here. A big day, and Jesus is standing there, and you can imagine what he expected. Peter, what? You bailed on me. Peter, I told you. You denied me. But that's not what he says. Look what he says. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." You see, no wonder Peter wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope." Say that word with me, hope. See, Peter's experienced mercy. You know what that says to you and me today? That God's mercy is bigger than any failure you've ever made. Oh, we got to hear that. Because every one of us walk in this room, and if we're honest, our lives are marked with stumbles, with mistakes. But can I tell you, the mercy of God is bigger than any failure you've ever had, that failures are not final. And that's why Peter understood and came to grips with the Easter message. The resurrection of Christ is one of hope. And, you know, he experienced becoming a child of God. He wrote in 1 Peter 2:10, just a chapter over, it says, "Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." That the resurrection of Christ says to all of us, to the world, has all through history, and it will until history ends, that there's mercy available. That no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you come to Jesus, he'll forgive you. And Christ came because he loves you. There's hope in your life. You see, that's the message of the resurrection. There's hope in life. Romans 5:8 is one I've prayed for us today. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that even though you were a sinner, Christ died for you. You see, there's hope in your life. That's why I pray this Easter is unique, that it marks a moment of awe. It marks a moment of genuine respect, that you hear that call to repentance, that you surrender your life to Christ. You see, hope is real, but there's another word, fear. Say it with me. Fear. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, He's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice this. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. You see, this is one of those parts of Scripture that God opens the window of heaven and life and lets us look in and recognize something very, very important that we all need to understand. The death is not the end, it's a turnstile. I think about Mickey a lot. Mickey was a 10th grade boys Sunday school teacher and one of the coolest Sunday school teachers. He, one day, he was a tall man. He guarded President Reagan. He worked as a Secret Service agent. And he was one of those guys that didn't really look imposing, though he was tall. He was thinner. I mean, he was in shape, but he always wore suits, and so you couldn't really tell, you know, how strong he was. But he was one of those guys that was trained, that if he got a hold of you, you somehow knew it. And he worked in the, I think it was, I don't remember the name of the agency, but he worked with counterfeit. He was the head of all counterfeit money. And he showed up at Sunday school one Sunday, and he had 10 $100 bills. And he passed them out to, I think there were six 10th grade boys in the class. And he goes, all right, boys, I got 10 $100 bills here. Nine of them are fake, and I will be leaving here with them because that would be a felony for you. So I'm not going to teach you that lesson today, but I do want you to know there's one that's real, and if you find it, you can have it. Have at it. And these boys were like, oh, man, I can. They hadn't seen that many $100 bills, but they were looking at them, and they were smelling them. They were holding up the light. And they were kind of examining. And so each one of them selected one. And one by one, Mickey goes, all right, let me see. Oh, sorry. See that? That's wrong. Next, let me have that. Sorry. And every one of them, one by one, you saw their countenance fall. Because he says, boys, the real one is right over here on the table. And then he began to tell them, you know what, fellas, I've spent so much time studying what a real $100 bill looks like that the second I see an imposter, I go, yeah, that's not real. That's not real. I recognize it every time. And then he looked at them and said, boys, you need to know what the Bible says. And you need to read it carefully. You need to study it. Because there's a lot of false teachers in the world. There's a lot of false messages coming your way, and you gotta be able to recognize it. And so study the Bible. You know what the Bible says right here in 1 Peter chapter 1? And the Bible reveals a truth that when you read it carefully, you recognize that there is no fear in death. You see, because there is an inheritance that is not here on the earth, but kept in heaven for you. And so you know what I pray? That you are one that from this day forward, it marks an awe. That this day marks a respect. That this day marks a unique movement in your life where the story of Easter, the impact of the resurrection, becomes more than marginally important, but becomes a shift in your life that says, look, Lord, I will connect with you and your people. You know that when you leave today, there's a sign out there that says connect. And it's my prayer that you begin to connect with us week by week. Because let me tell you, these days are too important. And life is too short for us to not to to gather around the Word of God. Do you know that every level of our church, every week, we center our lives around what God has said. We work to read it carefully, to study what God has revealed. We invite you to connect. We invite you to walk with us. Oh, we want to walk with you. Oh, we want to walk beside you and together as we understand our days and we recognize how God wants us to live. Ah, serving together in this community. I love this city. I love it that God's called us to Tulsa and all these suburbs around us, all these towns around us. And oh, I pray we connect together moving forward, that this Easter marks a unique moment where we begin to walk together, serve together. You see, there's a heaven. And I pray that you recognize this moment right here. Peter recognized in his life and helped us as we process the mercy of God, the hope that we can have right now in our life, but also the fact that even in the midst of death, even in the midst of moments of sadness, unexpected tragedy, look, we don't have to have fear. Because when that day comes for you to walk through that turnstile, this hope, the resurrection, changes everything. So my prayer is that you recognize there's no fear in death. So this Easter, it's got to be more than I just, you know, believe in the resurrection. You know, I believe in Lenin, but I'm not a communist. I believe in Hitler. I'm not a Nazi. You know, my prayer is that you believe on. I believe on Jesus. And because I believe on Jesus, it moves me to a walk with Jesus, a life with Jesus. You're a trust in Jesus. That this is mine. It's praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy that I've experienced, like you can experience the mercy of God. And you can experience the living hope. And Peter describes it as a new birth. To be born again. To be not just mental assent about Christ. But what produces no fear in death is this believing on Christ. Is this surrender to Christ. So this Easter I pray that there's an awe. A respect. A drawing. That you hear the, and you sense the supernatural drawing of this moment. That God is speaking to the world, that God is speaking to you. And we get this new birth. We've heard about this new birth. Jesus kind of did this controversial statement about the new birth in John 3 to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus, this theologian and this theological heavyweight, comes to Jesus at night. And he says, hey, tell me about this new birth. He's like, oh, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. You know why, Nicodemus? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Look, there's no fear in death because of the resurrection. Oh, you can live that, embrace that, surrender to that. Hope, say it. Fear. Certainty. You know, Peter's eyes, what he saw, he began to walk with Jesus after he had risen from the dead. He began to hear from him. He began to learn from him. And as he did, you know, it was interesting. The Great Commission came to the disciples. Go to all the world. Teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. And hey, Peter, disciples, I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. It proceeded as they spent time with the resurrected Lord. And it kind of ends up at Acts chapter 1. Luke records this. As the disciples were with Jesus and he was teaching them. And he, Acts 1 records in verse 9, when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up. And a cloud took them out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Let's pay attention to what the certainty that Peter articulated. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Notice this, who through faith you are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Jesus made it clear and certain that there will be a day he returns. There will be a last time. You know, the Bible speaks to what that last time will be like. And as I search my scriptures, what God has revealed in the Word, and I read it carefully, it makes me go, You know what the Bible describes of the last days? And just consider if any of these sound familiar. And as I read this list, what I want you to consider is this question: is the resurrection of Christ mildly important to you? And I pray that, as I read this list, I pray that you feel the awe, that you recognize this supernatural draw, that you consider what it means for you to surrender to the call. Christ. The Bible tells us in the last days, in Matthew 24, there'll be an increase in wickedness, and the love of many will grow cold. Matthew 24 says false prophets and messiahs will deceive many. 2 Thessalonians 3 says that there will be a falling away from the faith, that many will fall away in front of us. 2 Timothy 3 says that people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Matthew 24 says there will be wars and rumors of wars. Matthew 24 says nations will be rising against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. Matthew 24 says famine, pestilence, and earthquakes will be in various places. Luke 21 says there will be a distress of the nations with people living in fear of what is coming. Luke 21 says there'll be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. Hmm. Matthew 24 says Christians will be hated, persecuted, and killed for their faith. You know what Daniel 12 says? That at this time, knowledge in the world will increase. Matthew 24 says there will be a time of great tribulation like never before. And then Matthew 24 says the gospel will be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. You realize we live at the only time in the history of the world where it is literally possible to preach the gospel to every nation at once. So I just say to you, you know, I ask you, may this Easter be unique. May this be an Easter that you sense the supernatural awe. That you get a sense of this supernatural draw, and that you respond to the call of God. Look, because these days, life's too short, and these days are too important for the Easter revelation to be mildly important. And my prayer is that for all of us, it moves us to connect. Oh, let's connect. Let's walk together. Let's serve together. Every one of you are going to get a card today, and you're going to walk by this deal out there about how to connect. Oh, stop. And let's allow this Easter to be unique. You know, our staff's going to come down front. And can I ask you, as they come, would you just bow your head? Just bow your head right where you are. And would you, the best you can, just turn your attention to the Lord? Give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to give you a sense of awe. That you would allow the God of all creation to draw you. That you would consider how you'll respond to the call of God right now. We're going to sing a song, and it's one of my favorite resurrection songs. And as you're ready to sing, and I want to invite you to stand and do that, but our altars are open and staff's down front, and maybe you need to just talk to somebody, or you can connect with people out in the hallway. But all my prayer is that you don't miss this moment, that this Easter is unique. Father, I love you. I thank you for the hope that you give. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have taken the fear out of death. Though we're moved to walk with you and to connect with one another and to make the most of these days that we live. Father, I pray that's what we would do as a church. Father, I pray that you would move us to make, that this Easter would be unique. Father, I love you. I thank you for the certainty of your return. And as we see these things unfold in front of our eyes, may we live with urgency and with focus and determination. Move us today, Jesus. In your name, amen.